Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about Mauritania, a Wikipedia reading. This I found interesting because there was a flight of a tribe from Yemen, apparently, according to the Yemen Wikipedia page, which formed up Mauritania. Mauritania, I only found out really about from knowing someone who worked in the embassy there many, many, many years ago, the German embassy from Mauritania. So that was interesting. So very few people know of this particular republic. It's got a basically a green flag with red on the top and bottom, a crescent moon and a star. One of the few stars is Camaros, the island of Camaros, so where the actual star sits in a place impossible for the moon to form. It's a, sort of an interesting thing. It's yellow and green. Ugly pictures there. It does have a national anthem, meaning country of the proud gilding nobleman. So it's a number of strange things. So it would be interesting to find out about it. A quick read of it, and one of the, I suppose, things which makes me sad is that was Yemen's got childhood marriage and a huge population growth at the end of it. This has got an ending desert and a slavery in it, which is rather sad to see. And I'd say modern-day slavery. Mauritania, or Sengirt, officially the Islamic Republic of Mauritania, is a country in the northwest Africa. It is the seventh largest sovereign state in Africa and is bordered by the Atlantic Ocean to the west, Western Sahara to the north and northwest, Algeria to the northeast, Mali to the east and southeast, and Senegal to the southwest. The country derives its name from the ancient Berber kingdom of Mauritania, which existed in the 3rd century BC before Christ to the 7th century CE. Oh, that's a fair amount of time. And in modern-day Morocco and West Algeria, approximately 90% of Mauritania's land is within the Sahara. Consequently, the population is concentrated in the south, where the precipitation is slightly higher. The capital, the largest city, Nouakchott, located near the Atlantic Ocean, it's the home to around one-third of the country's 4 million people. It's all a large number of people. The government is overthrown on the 6th of August 2008 in a military coup d'etat led by General Mohamed Oud Abdel Aziz. On April 2009, Aziz resigned from the military to run for president in the elections, which he won. Oh, dear. History. The ancient tribes of Mauritania were Berber, and African people. The Bafours were primarily agricultural and among the first Saharan people to abandon their historical nomadic lifestyle. With the gradual desiccation of the Sahara, they headed south. Many of the Berber tribes claimed Yemeni, oh well there you go, and sometimes Arab and other Arab origins. There's little evidence to support such claims, but a 2000 DNA study of Yemeni people suggests that there might be some ancient connection between the peoples. There you go. It would sort of almost make sense, not quite. So Yemen is in the Arabian Peninsula on the south westernmost corner. This is in Western Africa. Of other people also migrated to the south in the past Sahara to Western Africa. Other people in 1076. The Almoravids conquered the large areas of ancient Ghana Empire. The Chaabur War of 1644 to 74 was the unsuccessful final effort of the people to repel the Yemeni Maki Arab invaders. Well, there you go. I don't quite understand it. The invaders were led by Ben Hassan tribe. The descendant of Ben Hassan warriors became the upper stratum of Moorish society. Hassana, a Bedouin Arabic dialect that derives the name from Ben Hassan, became the dominant language among the largely nomadic population. So the language is pretty amazing. Hassana. Berbers retained niche influence by producing a majority of the region's morabouts, whatever that means, those who preserve and teach Islamic tradition. Colonial history. France laid claim to the territory of present-day Mauritania from the Senegal River and northward starting in the late 19th century. In 1901, Xavier Capellani took charge of the imperial mission. Through a combination of strategic alliances with the Zawa tribes, the military pressure on the Hassan warrior nomads, he managed to extend French rule of the Mauritanian Emirates. Tazar, Bakna, Tangut were occupied by the French armies in 1903. Hi, Cecilia. But the northern Emirate of Adair held out longer, aided by the anti-colonial rebellion or jihad of Shia Ahmad and Western insurgents from the Tangut and other regions. Adair was finally defeated militarily in 1912. This is just insane. Before World War One. Be back with you. Okay, back again, quickly reading it. So, the area's only been conquered from the Arabs, who were there by 1912. Mauritania was part of French West Africa Protectorate. In 1920, the French rule brought legal prohibitions against slavery and the end to the inter-clanal warfare. During the colonial period, 90% of the population remained nomadic. Many sedentary people, whose ancestors had been expelled centuries earlier, began to trickle back to Mauritania. The previous capital of the country under French rule, Saint-Louis, was located in Senegal. So when the country gained independence in 1960, Nakhut, at the time, a little more than a fortified village, was chosen as a site for the new capital of Mauritania. After gaining independence, larger numbers of indigenous sub-Saharan people, the Hasbok and Wolof, entered Mauritania, moving into the area north of the Senegal River. Educated in French language and customs, many of these recent arrivals became clerks, soldiers, and administrators of the new state. This occurred as French military suppressed the most transient, intransigent Hassan tribes in the north. This changed the former balance of power. The new conflicts arose between the southern population and the Moors. Between the groups stood African origin, whose is part Arab society integrated into a low caste social position. Modern day slavery still exists in different forms in Mauritania. According to some estimates, thousands of Mauritanians are still enslaved. In 2012, CNN reports Slavery's Last Stronghold by John D. Sutter describes and documents the ongoing slave-owning cultures. This social discrimination is applied chiefly against the Black Moors, Hattan, in the northern part of the country, for the tribal elites among the White Moors. Were trouble amongst the White Moors. Slavery practice exists and also within sub-Saharan African ethnic groups of the south. The Great Sahel droughts of the early 70s caused massive devastation in Mauritania, exacerbating problems of poverty and conflict. The advertised dominant elites reacted to changing circumstances. The Arab nationalist calls from abroad by increasing pressure to arbitrage many aspects of the Mauritanian life, such as law and the education system. This was also a reaction to the consequences of French domination under colonial rule. Variation models for maintaining the country's cultural diversity has been suggested, but none successfully implemented. This discord was evidenced during the intercommunal violence that broke out in April 1989, the Mauritanian-Senegal border war. But has since subsided. Mauritania expelled some 70,000 sub-Saharan African Mauritanians in the late 1980s. Ethnic tensions and the sensitive issue of slavery, past and in some areas present, are still powerful themes of the country's political debate. A significant number of groups all seek more diverse, pluralistic society. Conflict in Western Sahara. The International Court of Justice has concluded that in spite of some evidence of both Morocco's and Mauritania's legal ties prior to Spanish colonization. Have I missed something? Okay. I think I might do history again. This is really mucked up because we haven't had Spain so far. Neither set of ties was sufficient to affect the application of the UN General Assembly Declaration on granting the independence of colonial countries and peoples to the Western Sahara. Mauritania, along with Morocco, annexed the territory of Western Sahara in 76. So there must have been a territory. With Mauritania taking over the lower one-third at the request of Spain and the former imperial power. Oh, sorry. Western Sahara was a Spanish colony, but after several military losses from the Polisario, heavily armed and supported by Algeria, the regional power and rival in Morocco, Mauritania withdrew in 1979. Its claims were taken over by Morocco. Due to the economic weakness, Mauritania has been a negligible player in a territorial dispute, with its official position being that it wishes for an expedient solution that mutually agreeable for all parties. While most of Western Sahara has been occupied by Morocco, the UN still considers, what the heck is Western Morocco? The Western Sahara territory that needs to express its wishes with respect to statehood. A referendum originally scheduled for 1992 is still supposed to be held at some point in the future, and the UN auspices to determine whether or not the indigenous Sahrawis wish to be independent as Sahrawi tribe, Democratic Republic, or the Sahrawi Arab Republic, or part of Morocco. Oh dear, poor thing. All Dada era, 1960 to 1978, Mauritania became independent nation in 1960. 1964, President Motkar Oud Dadata, originally installed by the French, formalised Mauritania as a one-party state with a new constitution, setting up an authoritarian presidential regime. Dada's own Parti du Peuple Libertarien, PPM, became the ruling organisation in a one-party system. The president justified this on the grounds that Mauritania was not ready for Western-style multi-party democracy. Under its one-party constitution, Dada was re-elected uncontested in elections in 1976 and 1978. Dada was ousted in a bloodless coup in the 10th of July 1978. He brought the country to near collapse through the disastrous war to annex the southern part of Western Sahara, framed as an attempt to create a Greater Mauritania. The CMRN and CMSN military governments, 78 to 84. Colonel Muftasa Oud Salik's junta proved incapable of either establishing a strong base of power or extracting the country from destabilizing conflict with the Sahrawi resistance movement. The Polarizo Front quickly fell to be replaced by another military government. The energetic Colonel Mohamed Kumar Oud Halada soon emerged as a strong man. By giving up all claims to the Western Sahara, he found peace with the Polisario and improved his relationship with its main backer, Algeria. But relations with Morocco and other party conflict and the European ally France deteriorated. Instability continued. Halada's ambitious reform attempts floundered. His regime was plagued by attempts at coups and intrigues within the military establishment. He became increasingly contested due to his harsh anti-colonizing measures against opponents. Many dissidents were jailed and some executed. In 1981, slavery was formally abolished by law, making Mauritania the last country in the world to do so. Oh, God. Oud Taliot's rule, 1984 to 2005. On December 1984, Hadar Lahar was deposed by Colonel Mahu Oud Sid Ahmed Taya, who, while remaining tight military control, relaxed political climate. Oud Taya moderated Mauritania's previously pro-Algerian stance and re-established ties with Morocco during the late 1980s. He deepened these ties during the late 90s and early 2000s as part of Mauritania's drive to attract support from Western states and Western-aligned Arab states. Mauritania was not rescinded, has not rescinded its recognition of the Palaiseau's Western Sahara's exiles government and remains on good terms with Algeria. Its position on the Western Sahara conflict is, since 1980, one of strict neutrality. In ordinance 83.127, enacted 5th of June 1983, launched the process of nationalisation for all lands not clearly the property of a documented owner, thus abolishing the traditional system of land tenure. Potential nationalisation was based on the concept of dead land, i.e. property which has not been developed or which is obviously development cannot be seen. A practical effect was the government seizure of traditional communal grazing lands. Oh my God. Political parties, illegal during the military period, were legalised again in 1981. By 1992, the civilian rule returned and 16 major political parties have been recognised. 12 major political parties were active in 2004. The Parti Républicain Démocratique et Social, PRDS, formerly led by President Mayo Oud Sid Amateya, dominated Mauritanian politics after the country's first multi-party elections in 1992. Following the approval by referendum of the current constitution in July 1991, President Tania won elections in 1992 and 1997. Most opposition parties boycotted the first legislative election in 1992. For nearly a decade, the parliament was dominated by PRDS. The opposition participated in municipal elections in January, February 1994 and subsequent Senate elections, most recently in April 2004, and gained representation at a local level as well as three seats in the Senate. This period was marked by extensive ethnic violence and human rights abuses. Between 1990 and 1991, a campaign of particularly extreme violence took place against the background of Arabization, interference with black association rights, exportation and expatriation. In October 1987, the government allegedly uncovered a tentative coup d'etat by a group of black army officers backed, according by the authorities, by Senegal. 51 officers were arrested and subjected to interrogation and torture. Heightened ethnic tensions were the catalyst for a Mauritanian-Senegal border war, which started as a result of conflict in Dawa between Moorish Mauritanian herders and Senegalese farmers over grazing rights. On the 9th of April 1989, Mauritania Gar killed two Senegalese. That's not too good. Following the incident, several riots erupted in Bakel, Dakar, and other towns and settlements directed against the mainly Arabized Mauritanians who dominated the local retail businesses. The rioting, adding to already existing tensions, led to a campaign of terror against black Mauritanians, who are often seen as Senegalese by Bahrains regardless of their nationality. As low-scale conflict in Senegal continued into 1991, the Mauritanian government engaged encouraging acts of violence and seizure of properties directed against the Halpin ethnic group. The tension culminated in an international airlift agreed by Senegal to Mauritania under international pressure to prevent further violence. The Mauritanian government expelled tens of thousands of black Mauritanians. Most of these so-called Senegalese had no ties to Senegal, and many have been repatriated to Senegal and Mali after 2007. The exact number of expulsions is not known, but the United Nations Commissioner estimates that as of June 91, 552,995 Mauritanian refugees were living in Senegal and at least 13,000 in Mali. By November 1990 to February 1991, between 200 and 600 Fula and Somi soldiers and political prisoners were executed and tortured to death by Mauritanian government forces. They were among 3,000 to 5,000 blacks, predominantly soldiers and civil servants, arrested between October 1990 and mid-January 1991. Some Mauritanian exiles believe the number was as high as 5,000 on the basis of alleged involvement in an attempt to overthrow the government. The government initiated a military investigation but never released the results. in order to guarantee immunity for those responsible and block any attempts at accountability for past abuses, the Parliament declared an amnesty in June 1993, covering all crimes committed by the armed forces, security forces, as well as civilians between April 1989 and April 1992. The government offered compensation for families' victims, which a few accepted in lieu of a settlement. Despite this amnesty, some Mauritanians have denounced the involvement of the government in the rest of the killings. In the late 1980s, Ould Tahia had established close cooperation with Iraq and pursued a strong Arab nationalist line. Mauritania grew increasingly isolated internationally. The tensions with Western countries grew dramatically after it took a pro-Iraqi position during the Gulf War, 1991 Gulf War. During the mid to late 90s, Mauritania shifted its foreign policy to one of increased cooperation with the US and Europe. It was rewarded with diplomatic normalization and aid projects. On 28th of October 1999, Mauritania joined Egypt, Palestine, Jordan, and other members of the Arab League to officially recognize Israel. Ould Tahia also started cooperating with the United States in anti-terrorism activities, a policy which was criticized by some human rights organizations. A group of current and former army officers launched a violent, unsuccessful coup attempt in 2003. The leaders of the attempted coup escaped the countries, but some were caught later on. Mauritania's presidential election, its third since adopting democratic process in 92, took place in 2003. Six candidates, including Mauritania's first female and first Haritan, descendant of former slaves, candidates represents a wide variety of political goals and backgrounds. Incumbent President Mouhoud Said Tania won the election 67% to the popular vote, according to official figures, with Ahmed Kouad Ould Hadda finishing second. There you go. So, a lot of slavery, a lot of wars. This Western Sahara causing a bit of a problem, isn't it? With Morocco being a bit of a thing. On August 2005, a military coup led by Eli Ould Mohamed Vall ended Umad Ould Saad Ahmed Tania's 21 years of rule, taking advantage of Tania's attendance at the funeral of Saudi King Fahd. The military, including members of the Presidential Guard, seized control of key points of the capital of Narkut. The coup proceeded without loss of life, calling themselves the Military Council of Justice and Democracy. The officers released the following statement, quote, "The National Armed Forces and Security Forces have unanimously decided to put a definitive end to the oppressive activity of the defunct authorities, which our people have suffered from during the past years." Sounds like a cut and paste. The Military Council later issued another statement naming Colonel Vall as President and Director of the National Police Force and Security Nationale. Vall, once regarded as a firm ally of the now ousted President, had aided Tahia in the coup that originally brought him to power, and later served as a security chief. 16 other officers were listed as members of the council. Sounds a bit like Bill Shorten here. Though cautiously watched by the international community, the coup became to be generally accepted. The military junta organised elections within the promised two-year timeline. In a referendum on the 26th of June 2006, Mauritanians overwhelmingly, 76%, approved the old constitution, which limited the jurisdiction of the president's stay in office. The leader of the junta, Colonel Vall, promised to abide by the referendum and reach power peacefully. Mauritania established relations with Israel. It was one of the only three Arab states to recognise Israel, as maintained by the new regime despite widespread criticism and opposition. They'll probably have to do that to get any US aid. They considered the position as a legacy of the Tani regime attempt to carry favour with the West. Parliamentary and municipal elections in Mauritania took place in 19th and 3rd of November and 3rd of December 2006, presidential election. Mauritania's first fully democratic presidential election took place in March 2007. It actually affected the final transfer of military to civilian rule following the military coup in 2005. This is the first time since Mauritania gained independence in 1960 that it elected a president in a multi-candidate election. Elections were won in the second round of voting by Sid Oud Chik Abdali and Ahmed Oud Dalla, a close second. Oh, but didn't last long. 2008, there was a military coup. On the 6th of August 2008, the head of the Presidential Guard took over the President's Palace in Nakhut, a day after 48 lawmakers from the ruling party resigned in the process of President Abdul's policy. The army surrounded key government facilities, including the state television building, after the president fired senior officers, one of them head of the Presidential Guard. The President, Prime Minister Ali Ouwegev, and Mohamed Ould Reza, Minister of Internal Affairs, were arrested. The coup was coordinated by General Mohamed Ould Abdel Aziz, the former Chief of Staff of the Mauritanian Army and head of the Presidential Guard, who had recently been fired. Mauritania's presidential spokesman, Obed Madouba, said the President, Prime Minister, and the Interior Minister had been arrested by renegade senior Mauritanian army officers who were being held under house arrest at the presidential palace in the capital. In an apparently successful and bloodless coup, Abdel's daughter, Amal Mit Chik Abdel, said, quote, "The security agents of the BASFP, the Presidential Security Battalion, came to our home and took away my father. The coup plotters, all dismissed in a presidential decree shortly beforehand, included Abel Aziz, General Mohamed Oud Granzi, General Philip Shriek, and Brigadier General Ahmed Oud Baksi. So don't be careful about who you sack." After the coup, the Mauritanian lawmaker Ahmed Al-Makar claimed that many of the country's people supported the takeover of the government that had become an authoritarian regime within 12 months. My God. Under a president who had marginalised the majority in the parliament. The coup was backed by Abdel rivals in the 2007 election. Abdel Aziz's regime was isolated internationally and became subject to diplomatic sanctions and cancellation of some of the aid projects. It found few foreign supporters among the Morocco, Libya and Iran, while Algeria, United States, France and other European countries criticised the coup and continued to refer Abdali as the legitimate president of Mauritania. Domestically, a group of parties coalesced around Abdali and continued protesting the coup, which caused the junta to ban demonstrations and crack down on the opposition activists. International internal pressure eventually forced the release of Abdali, who was instead placed under house arrest in his home village. The new government broke up relations with Israel. In 2010, Mauritania's female foreign minister, Mint Hamadi Oud Mouknas, announced Mauritania had cut ties with Israel in a complete and definitive way. After the coup, Abdel Aziz insisted on holding a new presidential election to replace Abdel, but was forced to reschedule them due to internal and international opposition. During the spring of 2009, the junta negotiated an understanding with some opposition figures and international parties. As a result, Abdel's family formally resigned under protest. It became clear that some opposition forces had defected from him, and most international players, notably including France and Algeria, had now aligned with Abdel Aziz. The United States continued to criticize the coup, but did not actively oppose the elections. Abdel's resignation allowed for the election of Abdel Aziz as a civilian president on July 18th of July, about 52% majority. Many of Abdel's former supporters criticised this political ploy and refused to recognise the results. They argued that the election had been falsified due to the junta's control and complained that the international community had let down the opposition. Despite the complaints, the elections were almost unanimously accepted in the Western Arab and African countries, which lifted sanctions and resumed relations with Mauritania. By late summer, Abdel Aziz appeared to have secured his position and have gained widespread international internal support. Some figures, such as Senate Chairman Masoud Oud Boulkhitir, continue to refuse the new order and call for Abdel Aziz's resignation. In February 2011, waves of Arab Spring spread to Mauritania, where thousands of people took the streets of the capital. In November 2014, Mauritania was invited as a non-member guest of the nation, in G20 summit to Brisbane. Well, there you go. That's not much to say about it, surely. Demographics. As of 2008, Mauritania had a population of approximately 4.3 million. The local population composed of three main ethnicity: Bidhan, or white Moors, Hutan, black Moors, and West Africans. Bidhan's 53%, the whites are 53%, 30% black, and 17% West Africans. The Statistics Bureau's estimation indicates that the Bidhan represent around 53% of the citizens. They speak Hassanic Arabic and are primarily of Arab-Berber origin. The Hassanic constitutes roughly 34% of the population. They are descendants of former slaves and also speak Arabic. The remaining 30% of the population consists largely of various ethnic groups of West African descendants. Among them are Niger, Congo-speaking Haspala, Flubes, Soniki, Bambara, and Wolof. Thanks a lot. Oh my God. 1950, there's 700,000. 2000, there's been 2.7 million. But in 18 years, their population has doubled. Okay, we'll stop that and we'll do another section of this soon. Thanks a lot for listening. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.